All right, well, you can come on in and grab a seat. We're going to get started with the message. Glad everybody survived the storm last night. If I look tired today, it's because I am tired. We decided that with the all that was going on, we were going to sleep in the basement on air mattresses last night. So I, quote, slept in the basement and then came up after a little bit into the couch, and I was like, there was no storm. I don't know if anybody else has your experience, but I was a bit disappointed. I'm like, I'm never listening to them again. I'm sleeping in my bed from here on out. So, well, good. Well, great being with you today. We're in the book of Proverbs, so if you have, you can turn there. We're going to be jumping around to a lot of places. Normally on Sundays, as I come up, we'll have someone read the scripture. Proverbs is just a bit unique. We're jumping all over the place, so I'm just going to read a number of Proverbs as we go through this. We've hit a number of topics in the book of Proverbs, and today we are hitting the topic of parenting. Parenting. There's a time in my life that I thought, parenting, no problem. I've got it. I will do the seminar on it. I've got everything figured out. Quite confident in my ability to parent. I'm quite confident in my ability to know the answers to whatever may come up. And then I had kids, and I realized I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just going to take all my material and throw it away, and we are learning freshly how to do this. Parenting's one of those things that it just breaks you down in so many different ways. But I also say this, parenting, it's hard, but it is good. And typically what you see in life, things that are good, they're also difficult. If you want to have good friends, it's hard. You have to build it. You have to invest in that. If you want to have a great family, you have to invest in that. You have to put time into it. And so while we will talk about parenting being hard, I also want to remind you that parenting is good, something that God calls us to. I realize a number of people sitting in here, you may not be a parent, but I'm willing to bet that you know someone who is a parent. So for you being a good friend, a good brother, good sister, whatever it may be, I trust that this message will be helpful for you, even if you're not in this season of life just yet. I'll also say this, whereas I feel clueless on parenting at times, I would be completely in the dark if it weren't for God's word. If I have anything worthwhile to say about parenting, it has come from God's word. I don't know where we would be without that. In so many different facets, we've talked about finances, certainly the case there, and it's also the same with parenting, just how God, His Word, the brilliance of it, instructs us on everything we need in life. So today we are going to look at four principles for parenting that comes from the book of Proverbs. This is by no means an exhaustive list of how to parent. We're just taking some gleanings from the book of Proverbs that I hope will encourage you and spur you on in parenting and shape how you think about it. So, point number one, parenting. You instruct your children. That's what you are called to do. You're called to instruct your kids. I know a lot of people, you think you should have gotten like the self-raising kid package, right? Where you just get these kids and they rear themselves. They teach themselves how to do all these things. They figure everything out on their own. That's not the case. God created it this way. God created us to be raised by parents, and there's a special place that parents have in the lives of their children. Parents are to instruct their children. So if you're sitting there thinking, man, I'm having to do a lot of instruction, I'm having to do a lot of teaching, I'm having to tell them over and over and over again, and you feel like you got a bad package, you feel like something is wrong, it's not wrong. That's the way God created it. We see that in the book of Proverbs that parents are to instruct their children. And it's neat. You think about some of the different things that you get to instruct your kids on, those special moments where you just get an up-close view of the life of another person. Parenting brings you into that. Those moments where your kid finally realizes what a light switch does. Those moments where they realize what the hose does outside and how you turn the water on and off. And those moments where the kids realize, hey, I can grab that hose and I can chase dad with it. Those are fun moments where you get brought into the life of another person starting to understand things in the world. And there's those fun things, but there are also bigger and deeper things that we are to instruct our kids on and take them into. Instructing is a big part of what parents are called to do. And we see that in the book of Proverbs. Remember, this whole book, it's written for a father to instruct his son. It's written of a parent instructing their children on how to live in the world, how to live wisely, how to do the right things. So parents are called to instruct. You would expect that the children should listen as well. Let's read Proverbs. This is Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you wake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." We're called to instruct. We're called to teach our kids. They don't come into the world knowing everything. But God has created us and given us a special opportunity to shape other people. We see that call as we're called to make disciples. Like, everybody has that calling to some degree on their lives, but we see that it is a prominent part of parenting. We're to teach our kids, and there's certainly, you know, fun things that we get to teach them. We get to teach them about the light switch and the hose, and we get to teach them how to properly roast a marshmallow over the fire, right? Don't just stick it in and burn it to a crisp on the outside, and then it's cold on the inside. You've got to be patient. You've got to be patient so that it cooks all the way through and it starts to swell up. Like, that's how you really cook a marshmallow. All right, that's important. You got to teach your kids those things. But as you read this passage and it talks about the instruction, as you read this in Proverbs, you should see how closely this parallels Deuteronomy 6. Let me read this. It says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." Deuteronomy is talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the Word of God that's being given to His people. Proverbs builds on that. So you see a lot of similarities of what's going on in Proverbs with Deuteronomy 6. This instruction, this constant, it's a way of life. You're talking about on the road, and when you lie down, you're talking about how, in Proverbs, the parents' instruction, it brings light to their eyes. God's Word is a light. It's a lamp for our feet. It's a guide for all that we need in life. And so there's this expectation that we're not just instructing them on how to roast marshmallows. We're instructing them on how to walk with the Lord. We're instructing them on who God is and what He's done for us. This is the instruction that parents are called to. One of the primary things we should teach our kids is the Word of God. Where it says instruction, the word there is Torah. If you're familiar with the Old Testament and the Hebrew Torah, it's the first five books of the Bible. It's the Old Testament. We're instructing on God's Word. And what's neat with Proverbs is that the instruction, it's not just in the theological classroom, but it takes us into the theater of the world. Proverbs takes you down the road and you are beholding what's happening in life and seeing God's ways play out. They play out in life. He's not just sheltering their kids from things. He's taking them out to give them discernment on what's going on in the world. Look at Proverbs 24, 30 through 31. It says, "I went past the field of the sluggard." Past the field of the sluggard, what did you see? It was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. What he's saying is he went past the field of the sluggard and it's all falling apart. It hasn't been kept up. He's walking with his child and saying, "Hey, look, you see that? That's what happens when we don't do what God calls us to do." We're seeing theology play out in life. Another one, Proverbs 5:3, he says, "For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than the oil. But in the end, she's bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword." He's saying, you know what? The world is telling us one thing, but this is what God's Word tells us. And when we go out and we see this in life, we see God's Word playing out. Life is theology in action, and Proverbs helps us to discern that. Helps us to see what God is doing in the world. Helps us to see the outworking of his promises, of his warnings, of our design and the course of the actions that we should take. Proverbs is connected to real life. It reminds us that the key to wisdom, it is the fear of the Lord. The key to walking wisely is seeing the Lord in everything. You know, it's really interesting. We're kind of doing the exact opposite of what Proverbs does. We are extracting certain proverbs and saying, hey, here's a group of proverbs on parenting. Here's a group of proverbs on finances. And that's good, but it's interesting that Proverbs never does that. Never says, hey, here's the section on parenting. Hey, get to chapter 2. That's finance. What you see is it's all interconnected. It's really hard just to extricate parenting from the Proverbs and detach it from everything else on finance, detach it from everything else on friendship, detach it from the fear of the Lord. All of these things are intimately connected, and you can't have one without the others. We see that even in parenting, as we instruct our kids, our instruction is typically only as good as what we know of the Lord. Our instruction is only as good as we understand him and what he calls us to. If we want to have good instruction, then we should walk in the fear of the Lord and say, God, I really want to understand your word. I want to press into my relationship with you so that I have something to give to others. Because if we're not pressing into our relationship with God, we've got nothing to give to others. We've got no discernment of what's right and what's wrong. Parenting will fail right there. And so as we know God's word, we can apply it in our lives and we can help others to know it as well. If we're going to instruct others, we need to instruct ourselves first, right? We need to make sure we are pursuing him. Because in God's word, we have the solutions to life. In God's word, we have a Savior. In God's word, we know what he is doing in the world. And this is so important because there are moments in your life, moments as a parent where you are brought into those neat and exciting moments of another person's life, you also get brought into the hardships of another person's life where you are brought into how they are processing things and their struggles and their ups and downs. I don't know where I'd be without knowing God's word, and you have a child who his friends have been mean to him and he's trying to process all that. And you're talking to him about, hey, they're your friends, but they're still sinners. Just like you treat your brother, you love your brother, but at times you do things that aren't good. You're going to experience that in life. There's times in life where you feel dejected and depressed. And maybe it's what someone else has done. Maybe it's something that you've done and you're so disappointed in yourself. God's word says that we are sinners, but we have a Savior. And so we can confront our limitations. We can confront our weaknesses because we know God is at work in those. God is greater than those. Parenting brings you into those moments that you have an opportunity to shape and steer how another is thinking and processing life. That's what we're called to do as disciples. We're all called to do that. Parenting is just a unique vantage point in which we get to do that. It's a unique relationship. And so, parents, you got to make sure that you are being intentional to do what God calls you to do. You've got to make sure you are being intentional to shape their minds according to God's word. Because it's amazing when you think about the time where people are spending. We may spend an hour and a half in church, and then your kids go home and they will spend, I looked this up, it's at an average of 40 hours a week on their phone. Heard recently someone say that we overprotect kids in the real world and underprotect them in the virtual world. So it's like, hey, Johnny, no, you can't run out and play. You might get hurt. Here, just stay there, and let me give you my phone, and you can just do whatever you want on there. That's not good parenting. You may be instructing them in certain ways, and then you have habits that are tearing that down. You've got to make sure that you are shaping your kids and that your kids are being shaped in the ways that you want them to be shaped, because it's very clear the world has a message for your kids. The world has an ideology that it wants to impart to your kids. Every company out there is trying to sell something and trying to get you to think the way that will most benefit them. And we've got to help our kids see you are primarily, first and foremost, created in the image of God. Life is only going to make sense as you pursue God, as you know him, as you glorify him. We've got to make sure that we are instructing them in the things of the Lord rather than the things of the world. Because the world is coming at them full force with a loud message contrary to what God calls them to be and do. As parents, We should make sure that we are instructing them with our words and our actions of what's important in life. So we want to be an active voice in their lives. We want to instruct them. That's the first point. Second point, discipline your children. Discipline your children. Yes, this is one. I feel like maybe I need to say it quietly. Hey, discipline your kids, right? You may hear it and you think, wait a minute, that's a little bit edgy. It is edgy for the world today. It's very clear in Scripture that God calls us to discipline our kids. Let me read a couple scriptures. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod, get this, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. God calls us to discipline our kids. God calls parents to discipline their kids. You know, it's interesting today because I think previous generations, there was much more of an authority structure in society and certainly in the family. And yes, an authority structure that may be to the detriment of the emotional health of others. Maybe. But we have come full circle, pendulum shift to the other side where it's all about the emotional health and well-being of someone to the detriment of having any kind of structure or any kind of authority. That's not good. We need Proverbs to balance that out. Because one of the tricks in parenting is holding on competing values without letting go of the other. Do we care about the emotional health of our kids? Yes, absolutely. But part of emotional health means understanding a structure of how the world has worked and that there are things that when you go beyond this, you might get into trouble. There might be problems if you go that route. Our society is one that, you know, we want to speak about, you know, just empowering our kids. Do we want to empower our kids? Yes, absolutely. There's a way that we want to empower our kids, but oftentimes what empowerment means is that I just give my kids whatever they want and that's where we go. Whatever they need, I'm empowering them. Because the opposite of empowering them is telling them no. And Scripture makes very clear that there are times that you have to tell your kids no. There are times that you have to say, this is out of bounds. There are times that you have to say, it's not good to go that route. The way I would say this, and when we talk about you need to discipline, is parents, you need to be a parent. You need to be a parent and correct your kids at times. You don't just need to be the cool uncle, right? Everybody wants to be the cool uncle. Hey, I'm the cool uncle. I'll just hang out, chill with my kids. Your kids need a parent. They need a parent that is going to say what's right, say what's wrong, that is going to tell them when they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. They need that. They need that as much as anything. I think a lot of the struggles that kids have today is that there are no boundaries. There's no structure to life. God's word gives us a structure of how to think about life, how to think about what's right and what's wrong. And I don't believe you're going to have kids thrive without that structure. I remember years ago, probably just before we had kids, and it started reading some Proverbs and it's shaping our thinking of kids. I remember somebody telling us a story about how there was two different playgrounds. One playground had a fence around it, and the other didn't have a fence, and it was by a busy road. And what they were talking about is the kids that had the fence, when they were in the fence, they were active, they were playing, they were running, they could do all kinds of games, and they knew, hey, we're in this fence, and we're safe. And we can do all these things in here. And then the kids that were in the playground that had no definition and the road was there, they weren't allowed to play as hard. They weren't allowed to do other things. There was a constant fear of this or that or the other. And what the story of the article was talking about is when there are clear boundaries, you know where you can play. You know where it's safe to be. And there's a confidence that comes with that. When you don't know any boundaries, you're in danger in so many ways and it lacks clarity. Oftentimes, and I've found this not just in parenting, but in my life, when I know the boundaries, that's incredibly helpful. That's incredibly freeing. I know that I'm here, and there's freedom in this, and there's danger when I go outside of that. Parents, you've got to give your kids boundaries. If you're not giving them boundaries, you're not being a parent, you're not doing what God calls you to do. And so many times in life, the ones that are establishing the boundaries, the ones that are establishing the priorities today, it's the kids. It shouldn't be that way. As a parent, you need to establish, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're not going to do. This is where we're going to invest our time and resources. This is where we're not going to do this. If we value these things, then these things are a no. And that's one of the best things for our kids today. There's times I'm telling my kids, hey, look, we could do this. But because of God's word, because of what God has done for us, because of what he calls us to, that's out of bounds. I'm just, no, we're not even going there. I'm not going to let you go there, and I don't want to go there either. I don't want that. I want to be in God's will. We've got to parent. We've got to say no at times. Your kids need you to correct them. Not sure what's going on there. Your kids need you to correct them. Your kids need you to show them what's right and wrong. Proverbs 22:15, it says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. If you're a parent, hopefully you've got years of experience in which you know a little bit better than you did at age 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 13, right? You need to correct your kids and lead them in that. Where it talks about the rod, it's a piece of shepherding equipment. It was used of a shepherd in guiding the sheep and making sure they are going the right way. In Psalm 23, it is the Lord who disciplines his sheep. It is the Lord whose rod protects his sheep. As we do that for our kids, we are following the Lord in what he does for us. Let me just give you a couple things to think about as you think about discipline. If you discipline your kids, it's meant to be instructive. We're not just trying to punish them and hurt them. It's ultimately meant to instruct them, to guide them so that they will learn what not to do. So discipline is intended to instruct, not hurt the child. There should be a patience and care that is demonstrated in all of our discipline for kids. Another Proverbs. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. As you discipline your kids, don't discipline them foolishly. Don't discipline them in anger. Oftentimes, anger is connected with pride. And there's times where I get upset at my kids, and a lot of times it's my own pride that is being damaged. I have an expectation. I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe you didn't respond to me that way. As a parent, I'm most concerned that they honor the Lord. It's not about me. It's about them honoring the Lord. I want them to see that. And so when my pride gets involved, oftentimes I start getting angry and I do things that aren't good. We've got to make sure that as we correct them, we're doing it with patience and love and care and concern, not just rashly. Don't let pride spoil all of those things. We also, as we discipline our kids, it's not just me getting my way. They're like, man, you know, Dad, you know, your discipline will show what you value. So if the only time you discipline your kids is when they raise their voices, you're trying to watch the football game, you're showing what you value, and that is very hollow. If it's all about football, it's all about you and your preferences. We want to make sure that the things that are important in life are what we are protecting, what we are trying to help them to see. We're trying to instruct them on what's right and what's wrong. Think about, you know, disciplining your kids. Remember when they were little and they'd start crawling for the light switch? You're like, no, you can't do that. It's not good. Yes, we put the little outlet covers in, but we're also trying to instruct them. And then, you know, they get a little bit older, and they're running out the door, run across the street without looking. No, you cannot do that. I fear for your life. I'm going to correct you. There are consequences. How about attitudes? There are attitudes that concern me as much as them running out the door like that. Are you speaking respectfully to your mother? Are you speaking respectfully to others? Are you lying and cheating and thinking that that's the right thing to do? That's dangerous. I want them to learn as children that that does not pay off. Proverbs has spoken to that. Don't go after ill-gotten gain. It always, the one who sets a trap falls into it, right? So I don't want them to do that. I want them to learn those things at a young age. Let me also say this, that the times I have been most frustrated with my family have been the times that I was most negligent to provide instruction and discipline. I'm sitting there on the couch trying to watch the football game. Amen, guys. Anybody ever been there? Like, I'm just trying to watch the game, and I can't hear because you're yelling, you're hollering, you're stealing. Somebody's crying. Mom's crying. Like, God, what's wrong with these people? Like, just get them out of here so I can watch the game. And then I get convicted. I'm like, somebody needs to fix this. Oh, wait. I think God calls me to do that. I think God calls, I need to go and tell this child he can't hit this child and this child that can't do this and can't do that. And I need to provide some structure. And what's amazing is when I provide that structure and direction and accountability as a family, do you know who thrives? Everyone. Everyone enjoys it. The siblings start getting along. Me and Amanda start getting along. Everyone thrives. When there is order and discipline, everyone benefits from it. When it's complete and utter chaos, no one benefits from that. Let me also say this. Some of the most healing moments with our kids have come after a time of discipline. Because when you're in the moment and they keep doing things that are wrong, you're frustrated. And then they're frustrated because you're frustrated. And when you have a time, it's like, we're not going to do this. There's a consequence. We've dealt with that. Their heart's in a different place. My heart's in a different place. And God uses that. And let me tell you, when you're in this moment, you are in the heart of Christian theology. Because God's word says something to us about when we have disobeyed him and our sin deserves punishment. But there's someone else who's taken our punishment. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And so that now that if I've trusted in Christ, it means I can be forgiven. It means that I can have peace with God. My heavenly Father is no longer angry at me because the punishment of that sin has been absorbed by Jesus Christ. And so I'm in those moments with my children, instructing them on what they can and can't do. And afterwards, we are going through the gospel. Hey, buddy, I'm sorry I had to punish you, but you can't do this. This is wrong. And this is why Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you know what? He died for you and your sin of lying. You know what? Jesus died for me and my sin of anger. I shouldn't have gotten angry. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. This is what we have in Jesus Christ. And so there is hope. There is renewal that is happening there. This is how God works in our parenting, in our discipline. When you neglect that discipline, you miss out on so many other important things of life. It connects us to what God is doing in the world. Let me share one other point on discipline. Because disciplining your children, it requires you to know your children. If I came up here and I said, hey, I've got a 4-point formula of how you walk through everything with your children, I would be a liar. Because you know what? That 4-point formula, it didn't even work on my kids. This kid is totally different from this kid, and this kid is totally different. Like, you've just got to know them. There were things that I could do with one kid that the other kid didn't even see. You know, I remember with one of our kids, we were, like, young. I think he was probably 5 or 6, 7, somewhere in there, and just kept, like, would run away from it. And we're like, you cannot run away from it. Like, when we call you, you can't turn and run the other way. When we're in the grocery store, you can't do that. You can't just take it. So it was like, we've got to get this kid's attention. And, man, we tried everything. And it's like, you know, taking away his sweets, you know, bodily harm, like, all of these things. It's all on the table. Like, you can't do this. And then we realized, I'm taking your game away. Oh, man, you want to talk about getting to somebody's heart as soon as you take his game time away? Like, it was a game changer. Like, he's, you know, okay, Dad, I'll never do that again. I was like, we found a way to fix this. One of my kids, it was her dresses. I'm not going to name names, but one of my kids, it was the dresses. You know, it's like, hey, if you keep having that attitude, you know, I'm going to take your games away. She's like, you can have them all, Dad. You know, and it was... But when I said, I am going to take your dress-ups away, it was just like all of a sudden, like, okay, I'm snapping into line. Like, it was a game changer. You've got to know your kids. You've got to know how to reach them. You've got to know some of their emotional language. Oh, man, I remember our oldest when he was a teen, and we were just going through a really... It was a trying time. Did I read this Proverbs? Proverbs 27:23. It says, know well the condition of your flocks. Give attention to your herds. If you've got flocks and they're young, you can't drive them too hard. You'll do damage. You got to know the condition of your flocks. So my teenager, like, he's just, hey, you need to do this, and he doesn't do it. Anybody ever had that? All right, that's just, it's like multiple times every day, constantly, nonstop. And so I'm frustrated, he's frustrated, and a lot of times my parenting technique is if I say it the first time and it doesn't work, I just say it a second time, louder, and then I say it, you know. That's usually when you realize I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I need a better strategy. And so with him, like, we're just in that season. It's frustrating. And I'm just like, I'm at my wit's end. And the man is like, you know, just be patient. I'm like, I'm tired of being patient. And then I start to realize, I think that's the voice of the Lord. I was like, you know what? God does not treat me as my sins deserve. And I went, he loved ice cream. I was like, buddy, let's go grab ice cream. I was like, last thing I want to do right now is take you out for ice cream. But I'm going to take you out for ice cream. We went out for ice cream. And somewhere in the midst of that, just as we're eating, it was like just the tension broke. And we just started kind of relating with one another and talking. It was actually, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to tell you. We got there, and I just felt like we needed to be a little different. We sat down eating our ice cream. We just started making fun of people. We started making fun of people driving by. We started making fun of each other. Just saying, you know, just dad needed a little release. I felt like my son needed, we just needed to connect on a like 15-year-old level and just laughing at each other, laughing at life, laughing at the things that have been going on. You got to know your flocks, and that's part of discipleship. It's part of leadership. You've got to know where people are. And this is another thing where the Christian faith becomes very compelling, because you've got to have authority. You've got to parent. But you've also got to know your sheep. And this is where what we see in Scripture is that, yes, God comes to us on Sinai, and he gives us commands. Same God comes in the flesh, born of a woman, to be with his people, to live with them, to know them. And so in Scripture, I've got both of those things. I've got both of those boundary lines established for me where, yes, I've got authority, but I need to love and know and at times lay down my life for my sheep, for my kids. You don't have that without the Christian faith. And that's where the Christian faith is so compelling to me, because it teaches me how to do both of those things. So we've got to discipline. We've got to know them, care for them. Okay, third thing. Parents, prioritize your health. I mean, we all know that, right? We all know, okay, I should work out a little bit more. I should do a little bit more this and that. And yes, you've got to prioritize your health, because you've got to know this. The best thing you can give your kids is you and you being healthy. And yes, it means let me eat a little bit better. Yes, it means taking time to get out and run. It also means that you are prioritizing your spiritual health. Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Proverbs 14:30, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." We just see the place when our heart is not in a good place, it affects so many other things. It affects your disposition when you go out to work. It affects your disposition when you are parenting. And so you need to make sure that you are establishing some healthy rhythms in your life. Establish some healthy boundaries. Make sure that you are resting. Make sure that you get time off. And yes, you never really get a day off from parenting, right? But there are things that you can do on a day. You know, we would take Sundays, and it's a day of rest for us. There's things that we don't do on Sundays. Amanda doesn't cook dinner, per se. You know, I think we eat twice as much on Sunday, but it's just, you know, constantly grazing and popcorn after popcorn. It's different. It's a way to rest from some of the regular rhythms of life. Find ways to do that. Find ways to teach your kids, hey, it's different on today. I need a day of rest. You need a day of rest. Find ways to do that. Make sure that you are, do the things that God calls you to do, all right? I don't know how else to say that, but God calls us to be in community. So many people are beleaguered and worn out because you are not taking time to do the things God calls you to do. He calls you to be in community. He calls you to have fellowship with other believers. Take time to pray and read the Scripture with other believers. You'll be amazed at how much that helps you. So many times, parents are struggling because you have neglected to do the things God calls you to do. Make that a priority. That is as important as anything else. I think about when I mean, we've done so many things wrong on parenting. I think about one of the things I'm so glad we did. We were leading a small group. This was at our church in Orlando. I think we had like 30 or 40 people in this small group. And And we just had our firstborn. And so we start going to group with him when he's like 6 weeks old. It was so hard. I mean, it was like getting to group. As soon as we said, hey, let's go to group, I felt like the dark side just unleashed all their imperial forces on us. And every stormtrooper's like descending to try and make us not able to get to group. I mean, it was so hard. There's all kinds of things going on. But we talked about it. We thought, you know what? It's not going to get any easier. And if we're going to be in fellowship with other believers, and we've had enough of that to know how much we need it. We need others in our lives. We need others praying for us. We need to be learning from others. We're parenting, and we have no idea what we're doing. We need other people in our lives. And one of the things that has, on a consistent basis, just breathed life into us has been church and small group and having real community around us. Make sure you prioritize your spiritual health, because there are times you are going to feel utterly crushed in parenting. And you need others. You need hope. You need strength, and God has provided us ways to encounter that. But we also have a responsibility to make sure we're putting ourselves in those places to be filled. You know, a bucket doesn't just fill up with water. You've got to put it by the fountain. And there are times in our lives that we need to say, hey, am I putting myself by the fountain? Am I putting myself where I can get filled? You've got to do that. All right, number four. Get back up when you fail. All right, in life, you're going to fail. In parenting, you're going to fail. And you've got to get back up. Proverbs 24:16, it says, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again. All right, why seven times? Why seven? Why not eight? Why not 10? Why not 20? Why not 100? Anybody remember from our series on the book of Daniel a few months ago, when Nebuchadnezzar got mad and threatened to throw them into the furnace, and he said, I'm not just going to double it. I'm going to what? How many times? How many times? It wasn't 10, wasn't 100, seven times. Remember when God said, I'm going to punish my people for 70 years, and then Daniel says, hey, it's not just 70, but it's 70 times seven. 70 times seven, it's a number of completion. It's a number of perfection. And so when he says, for the righteous falls seven times, what does that mean? It is a complete and utter fall. It is the TKO. It is the cat used up nine lives. It's I'm done. And this is where many theologians would say the Proverbs speaks to a resurrection. It speaks to a resurrection that even though the righteous man dies completely done, even though he falls seven times, complete and utter failure and end, he will rise. So Proverbs looks to a resurrection, and we need to know that, because if we can be resurrected from the dead, we can rise from our miscues, from our missteps, from our weaknesses, from just the wrong things that we do, because there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in him, and so that we have hope that all of my sin can be forgiven. I messed up yesterday, but I'm turning to the Lord. I can turn to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. God, I messed up. God, I feel as though I am at the end of myself. And he invites us back. We can say that to the Lord, and when we start saying that to the Lord, we can go to our kids and say, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. I was angry. I messed up. I have hope. I have hope that God will lead me. I have hope that God will be gracious to me, even though I've messed up, even though I've failed, even though I should have instructed you this way, but I didn't, even though I should have disciplined you this way, but I didn't, even though I should have known you more this way, and I didn't. I've messed up, but man, I have a Savior. And that's the best news that we can share with our kids. I remember our kids were young. I think we just had two at the time. And I'm at the office, and there were times going to the office felt like a break, all right? Let me be honest. There were times that going into the office, I feel like I'm getting out of the chaos for just a little bit. And I can remember Amanda calling me on the phone and just in absolute tears. You know, young mom, kids being crazy, doing what kids do. She's trying to get them to do the other thing, and now she's getting angry, and so she's calling me in tears, probably saying something like, do you know what your kids are doing? And they're my kids now. And yet her being disappointed in herself. And I just remember us talking on that, and it just had this epiphany that our kids don't need a perfect mom. If they had a perfect mom, perfection tends to self-righteousness, right? Perfection would be very easy to just judge them. We don't need to be perfect parents. What's powerful is when you have a parent that knows they're not perfect, but knows one who is perfect, knows one who died for them, knows one who's covered all their sins, knows one who can fix all the problems we create. That's where there's power, and that's where there's power in parenting. That's where there's power in the gospel, because we're telling our kids that they can have hope no matter what happens, and we start demonstrating that in our lives and in our parenting. It's a powerful thing for our kids to begin to see, and that's what we have in Jesus Christ. You don't need to be a perfect parent, because you'll never be a perfect parent. But you do need to know that you're not a perfect parent and that you have a Savior. You have one who died for you. And so that when you fail, when you failed hard, when you failed bad, you still have hope. If you turn to Him, if you start to look to Him and follow Him and trust Him, God promises to bring healing. You need some good news? Man, start reading the Bible. I think somebody told me there's some good news in the Bible, right? I think there's some good news somewhere in there that we can be forgiven for our sins, right? I think somewhere in there it says that God is working all things for the good of those who love Him. Amen? That God is giving strength to those who are weak. Amen? Amen. That God is helping the foolish grow in wisdom. Amen? That's what we need, and that's why there is so much power in the Christian faith. It's not just about, hey, do this and don't do that. But it's about a Savior who has come, a God who has revealed Himself as our Heavenly Father, and has provided everything we need. And so that means that parenting is an up-close look into the life and soul of another person, where we get to share those greatest realities of what God has done for us with another person. And that's powerful. Let's pray. Lord, we're just so grateful for Your Word and how it changes us, how it gives us hope. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, I pray that You would impart hope to all those that may be discouraged today. Whether it's in parenting or other relationships, God, I pray that You would give them hope. And I pray that You would help them to see just how powerful the gospel is, how compelling it is, how it changes everything. Lord, I just pray that You help us all to see that. And I just pray particularly for those, maybe they're in a season of being weary, maybe they're just tired and worn out. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen them and encourage them and help them to see just how what You have done, it takes care of all of our needs. It's what we hope in. And you have always been there for us. You've always been faithful. And that just gives us confidence that You will always be with us in the future. And that we don't need to fear. We just need to know You and pursue You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus Christ and the hope that is in Him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you. We're gonna sing one last song. I just want to encourage you to respond to however the Lord is calling you to respond. If you need to take a moment and pray, if you want to come down front, I'd be glad to pray for you. We're going to sing a song that hopefully encourages you with what you just heard. But we want to take a moment just to provide a little bit of space for God's Word to get in our heart and to do its work. So just kind of cast aside distractions. Don't look at your phone. Just think about, God, what are You speaking to me right now? How do I need to respond? Maybe it's responding to something in the moment right now. Maybe it's You. God is calling you to do something later today. Maybe go to someone, maybe talk to someone, maybe reconcile with a friend or child. But I want you to just search your heart and what God is doing and what He's calling you to do. Yes, let's stand.
My foes are many, they rise against me. But I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. promise is true. My God will come through. Trouble surrounds me, chaos abounding. My soul will rest in you. Oh, I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. Oh, my help is on the way.
Trust in one that is faithful, one that is so trustworthy. He is so trustworthy. We put our trust in him today. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us here for this time of worship. So good to be encouraged by God's word. Thank you, Keith, for that word, just to put our eyes on him and his work for us today. And as we go, I just want to share this word from 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is for the parents in your work, but also for all of us, that we would know where we can go in hope in Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 say this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Know that you can bring your cares to him, because he is at work in the midst of those cares to heal and to save.